Good morning again. So this season of Lent, we will be reflecting on the last days of Jesus' life and his ministry, and how we fit into this story, and how this story affects the way we live our lives today. So we're going to be digging into the days that lead up to Jesus' crucifixion throughout Lent. When we skim over the struggle or the hard parts of Jesus' life and death, we miss a big part of his story and of his message of struggle, brokenness, uncertainty, and ultimately forgiveness, hopefulness, love, and second chances. So don't worry, we're still going to have Palm Sunday on April 5th, and we'll still have Holy Thursday on April 9th, and Good Friday on April 10th, and Easter Sunday on April 12th. And I encourage everyone, I forgot my prop. I encourage everyone to get this book and come along with us on the journey. It's entitled Entering the Passion of Jesus by Amy Jill Levine. I read the first chapter and just felt it is a must read as we go through Lent. So I'm encouraging you to get it through Cokesbury, which is a United Methodist publishing house, or through Amazon. And it's well worth the $9. So frames. We have our frames up here, so we might be able to picture ourselves in the scripture. Each of our four gospels has this story, but each have a different focus and different details. So as we journey together, continue to ask yourself, where do I fit in this story? Imagine a parade that you've been to. I picked the St. Patrick's Day parade. What parades have you all been to or watched on TV or on the sidelines? Macy's? The what? Mummers Parade. I don't know that one. Okay. What other parades? Yes, Rose Bowl Parade. The Peace March, yes. Many different parades. And so, what's that? The Gay Pride Parade, yep. We've been in that one many years as well. So these parades are somewhat well organized, and we know when the date is, and we show up on the sidelines, right? And so I want you to imagine the triumphant entry, or maybe also called the Palm Sunday parade, that Jesus took. And this is the group of us walking that walk down from the Mount of Olives down into the valley, and it was quite steep. And many of us were moaning and groaning about our knees when we got to the end. But imagine yourself here in this place. There's walls there. I don't know for sure if there were walls in Jesus' day or not, but it's not an easy place to kind of hang out. And maybe it had been organized that folks would be there, but maybe not. Maybe the crowds just gathered because of the excitement of what was going on. And it's interesting when we're in a crowd or a parade, at a parade in a crowd, this thing that happens in crowds. So in this parade, I'm wondering where you picture yourself. Where do you picture yourself in this scripture reading from today? Did you go get the donkey and the colt? Did you spread out your cloak or your branch? Did you ask, who is this? Or did you answer, the Son of David? Did you shout, Hosanna, please save us? I have a reading of one person's thought on where they were on this day. So hear this. My cousin dragged me along. I wasn't really sure what was going on, but he said I wouldn't want to miss this parade. Yeah, I've heard of this Jesus guy from Galilee, heard some people talking who had just come to Jerusalem from Capernaum, where this rabbi had been teaching. They were talking about people who were coming from all over to wherever he is hanging out just to hear him. Some people try to get up close and personal with him because word on the street is that he healed some people, maybe even brought someone back to life. All I know is that the stories are obviously spreading, and there's a turnout today of Roman soldiers to check it out, so the authorities must be getting nervous about him. My cousin seems to think this could be it, our ticket out of this Roman occupation, and he's hoping to see a lot of people marching alongside, and hopefully there will be a display of power from Jesus that will get the people to rally. We got here early to get a good spot, decided not to be down on the road, but instead stay up on this roof so we can get a good look. I'm just glad to be up here because if trouble starts, I'm out of here. A little distance is just fine with me. Don't get me wrong. I think things need to change, and a lot of us Jews are tired of paying taxes to Caesar, who controls everything through his local lackey, Pilate. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid that things will get stirred up and life will get worse, not better. I'm afraid of being here, actually. What if I become known as a protester, a rebel rouser? I've seen what they do to their political rivals, to those who dare to question their power, their divine right over all things, all people, all matters of life and death. And then I see Jesus coming. But he isn't galloping on a horse girded with a sword. He's riding a donkey. I wonder where, if we were to take time to imagine, if in our minds we would have this kind of narrative in this scripture. So let's just lean into some of the symbolism real quick. So this donkey, which our reflector, I guess is the way I'll call this person, was surprised that Jesus was riding in on a donkey, which is a very humble way to enter. The Greek word in this text is meek. Meek is someone in authority who does not lord it over others. And this piece of the scripture also fulfills the Hebrew scripture that Beth read earlier today. The triumphant entry means in Hebrew righteous. So instead of triumphant, it would be righteous. The focus for Zechariah, which Beth read, and for Jesus is not on mere materialistic conquering, but on the power of justice seen through God's eyes. We in our Bible study or our book study were really trying to figure out why would they throw their cloaks down and their branches down before Jesus walked on the donkey. And in doing a little research, I learned that this was like rolling out the red carpet. And so they were putting their cloaks and branches down because royalty should not touch the ground that regular, ordinary people touch. So that's what the cloaks on the ground were about. And Hosanna, as we've already discussed, means please save or save us, we pray. During this time that Jesus entered Jerusalem, it was Passover. So the streets were packed. They were just packed full of people going to the temple and being in Jerusalem for Passover. And so this crowd mentality grows even larger. And from this entry, this triumphant, righteous entry, they could tell that Jesus wasn't the kind of ruler or leader they were used to. He would not dominate by force, but by teaching of the kingdom of God and encouraging people to act and serve for the common good or for God's hope for humanity. So how was Jesus risking reputation? How were his disciples or the crowd risking reputation? Well, Levine states, Jesus is not alone in this risky business. His disciples knew the risks. They have associated themselves with a man who has made enemies of the high priests. They are friends with a man whom Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, sees as a threat. This is high-risk stuff. So we are reading and hearing this Palm Sunday parade, already knowing the end of the story is at the cross and at resurrection. Levine reminds us also that this entry into Jerusalem must also be connected to the cross. The triumphal entry cannot be separated from the cross, and the cross cannot be separated from the call for justice. And that call cannot be separated from risk. Personal risk, professional risk, maybe even permanent risk. The story is meant to move us emotionally in terms of conscience, to indict us to challenge. And it is meant to move us ethically from faith into action. If we can accept risk, we can become better people. So, which frame of the story do you fit in? Are you in the parade and shouting, Hosanna? Or are you on the sidelines, afraid to take part and to risk it all? Amen.